Welcome to episode 668 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. In the days of Samuel, the prophet and priest, a shadow of discontent looms over the people of Israel. They have enjoyed the guidance and leadership of judges, but an air of restlessness has swept through the land. The neighboring kingdoms boast impressive monarchies, adorned with splendor and power. The Israelites, enchanted by the allure of earthly kings, long for a leader who will sit upon a throne and rule them with might and authority. Whispers of dissatisfaction and calls for a king of their own grow louder, finally coming to the attention of Samuel. He knows well the dangers of such desires, for he has witnessed firsthand the faithlessness and waywardness of kings in other lands. But the people's cries echo relentlessly, a siren song that threatens to drown out wisdom. Samuel, burdened by their pleas, seeks solace in prayer, searching for divine guidance. God responds, "Samuel, obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, from being king over them." Samuel gathers the people before him, his voice filled with urgency and compassion. "My people, you yearn for a king, but I implore you to reconsider. The path you tread is fraught with peril. Earthly kings may dazzle with their grandeur, but they will demand your loyalty, your sons for their armies, your daughters as ladies-in-waiting, and your hard-earned treasures. They will wield their power without mercy, and their rule will weigh heavy upon you." Yet the people remain steadfast in their desire. And the journey toward kingship begins. Parallel, in the New Testament, Jesus came as the long-awaited Messiah, but many rejected him as their true king, choosing worldly leaders and authorities instead. The people of Israel were expecting a political and military leader who would overthrow foreign oppressors and establish a physical kingdom. However, Jesus came as a spiritual savior, focused on the redemption of humanity from sin and the establishment of the kingdom of God. His mission was to bring salvation and reconcile humanity with God, rather than to liberate them from political bondage. As a result, many rejected him. God instructs Samuel to go to Bethlehem and anoint one of Jesse's sons as the new king. Samuel is hesitant and expresses concerns about Saul finding out and killing him. God provides Samuel with a solution, instructing him to use the pretext of making a sacrifice to cover his true purpose. Samuel follows God's instructions and arrives in Bethlehem, where the town elders are surprised and apprehensive about his presence. Samuel assures them that he has come in peace to make a sacrifice to the Lord and invites Jesse, the son of Obed, and his sons to participate. The sons are presented to Samuel, one by one, starting with the eldest, Eliab. As Samuel looks at this young man, he thinks, "This man surely looks like a king. This must be the one God will tell me to anoint." Samuel sees a tall, good-looking young man who looks like he would be a great king and leader. Samuel makes the mistake of judging Eliab based on his appearance. This was the same mistake Israel made about their first king. Saul looked the part, but he didn't have the heart a king of God's people should have. It does not matter how good Eliab looks, because God says, "I have refused him." 1 Samuel 16 verse 7, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart.'" The process continues with each son, but none of them are chosen by God. Samuel, confused, asks Jesse if there are any more sons. Jesse mentions that David, the youngest, and a shepherd, is tending to the sheep. David is summoned, and upon his arrival, God instructs Samuel to anoint him as the next king. This surprises everyone, including both Samuel and Jesse, as David is the youngest, and held in low regard as a shepherd. Nevertheless, Samuel obeys God's command, and anoints David in the presence of his brothers. From that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord is with David. Samuel then returns to Ramah, having completed his mission. This prefigures Jesus as the one who sees beyond outward appearances and focuses on the heart. Jesus demonstrated this truth during his ministry, choosing disciples and followers based on their faith and sincerity of heart, rather than their worldly status or appearance. In the rugged and unforgiving landscape of the Judean wilderness, King Saul's obsession with capturing David has reached a fever pitch. David, once a beloved servant in Saul's court and a skilled warrior, has fallen out of favor with the king. Jealousy and fear have consumed Saul's heart, fueling his relentless pursuit of the young and charismatic David. David, accompanied by his loyal band of followers, finds refuge amidst the towering cliffs and deep ravines of the wilderness. Their days are filled with constant movement, their senses sharpened by the ever-present threat of Saul's soldiers on their trail. They live in constant vigilance, knowing that one misstep can lead to their capture or demise. One day, as David and his men take cover in the vast network of caves near the town of Engedi, they discover that Saul and his army are drawing near. Panic surges through their veins, knowing that their hiding place is on the brink of exposure. They can hear the faint echoes of Saul's soldiers as they close in on their position. Deep within the recesses of one particular cave, David and his men huddle together, their hearts pounding in their chests. The darkness is suffocating, broken only by the dim light seeping in through the cracks. Silence surrounds them as they wait, their breaths shallow, anticipation hanging heavily in the air. Suddenly, they hear footsteps approaching. From the light cast from a torch, they see that it is Saul himself, and he is alone. His companions urge David to strike, to rid themselves of their relentless pursuer, once and for all. 1 Samuel 24 verse 6, David said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." With a mixture of courage and humility, David creeps silently toward Saul, his footsteps barely audible. As he draws near, he notices Saul, the once mighty king, vulnerable and unaware, relieving himself in the darkness of the cave. In that instant, David's resolve solidifies. He will not take Saul's life, even when the opportunity presents itself. Instead, he reaches out, grasping the edge of Saul's robe. With a swift and precise motion, he cuts off a piece of the fabric. Saul finishes his task, oblivious to the fact that his life hung in the balance just moments ago. Soon after he leaves the cave, David follows behind him. "My lord, the king!" David's voice resonates, filled with a mixture of respect and urgency. "Why do you listen to the words of men who claim that I seek your harm? Look, my lord, at this piece of your robe in my hand. I could have killed you, yet I chose not to. See and understand that I have no ill intent toward you." Saul's eyes widen with shock as he recognizes the voice and the piece of his robe in David's hand. Emotion overwhelms him as he realizes the depth of David's mercy and the righteousness of the younger man's cause. This prefigures Jesus' respect for God's anointed ones. David, despite being pursued by Saul and having the opportunity to harm him, refuses to raise his hand against God's anointed. Similarly, Jesus shows reverence for God's appointed authorities, even praying for his enemies and submitting to the authorities that led to his crucifixion. "Father, grant us the wisdom to see beyond our own desires and grievances. Help us to find the strength to extend grace to those who have wronged us, just as David did to Saul. Teach us to lay down our swords of anger and resentment, and instead, wrap our enemies in the cloak of compassion and understanding." That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.